Hey everyone, husband here.
And I'm wife. If you've been listening to us, then you know we're all about reading the Bible and reacting to it on our first read-through. Cuss words, crying, laughing, and more.
We're passionate about creating a podcast that takes the sanctity out of the sacred text and simply stating it as we see it.
But we can't do it without your help. We're asking for your support to help us keep this podcast going.
There are two ways you can donate.
Text SACDIS, that's SACDIS, to 533-555 if you're in the U.S. with a one-time donation. Any amount helps.
Or if you'd rather start a sustaining membership, sign up on our Patreon page at patreon.com/sacrilegiousdiscourse. Membership levels start as low as $2 a month.
We are amazed and grateful for our fans that support us now, and you can become one too.
With your support, we can keep Sacrilegious Discourse alive and well for years to come.
So please donate today.
Text SACDIS to 533-555 if you're in the U.S.
Or sign up for our Patreon page at patreon.com/sacrilegiousdiscourse.
Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Welcome to Sacrilegious Discourse.
I'm husband.
And I'm wife.
Together, we're reading the Bible for the very first time.
We grew up without religion and wanted to know what all the fuss was about.
Well, what have we learned so far?
That God is a dick, and apparently some people believe in talking donkeys.
We're not trying to pass ourselves off as experts.
Nope, we're just reading the Bible for the first time and giving our first take reaction.
If you'd like to join us in this venture, you might consider starting at episode 1.
Otherwise, jump in wherever you like.
All right, let's go read the Bible.
Yeah, let's get to it. Husband!
Wife!
What are we doing today?
Well, we've finished Job, so I think that means...
we are doing a wrap-up.
That's right. So we're wrapping up Job.
And also, fuck Job.
And I think we got a little bit of a Q&A for the last two episodes. Was that right?
Kind
of, maybe?
Not a Q&A. I have a pop quiz for you.
Just for those two?
No, for the whole book.
Oh, but there's no information that we found on the two chapters.
I have something from an apologist perspective that I thought I would introduce. I thought that would be fun.
Okay, all right.
See what they have to say about the book of Job as a whole.
Gotcha. And just so everybody knows, we are doing this right now live on Discord. And if you're not here...
you're missing out.
You should be.
Right.
So where the fuck are you?
Honestly, we need your help because we suck at Discord.
Yeah, we need as many people in there as possible. So come join us on Discord. You can find links in the episode notes of every episode that we're doing lately. And if you're on any of our social medias, I'm sharing links there too. So just, you know, go do it.
Get your ass over there.
Right.
Here.
All right. So let's go jump into this wrap-up for Job.
Yeah, fuck Job.
All right. Let's do it.
Okay. Okay, so we are wrapping up our book of Job.
Okay.
And so I thought I would give you an apologist perspective of what the book was about, what we were supposed to take from it.
Okay.
How do you feel about that?
We'll see.
So if Job cannot contend with Behemoth or Leviathan, which obviously he can't.
Right, because they're huge.
They're huge. or even with Satan, whom these creatures are supposed to represent. Yeah. Did you know that? I didn't know that.
I mean, we had talked about them being the gatekeepers of hell, so.
Well, but they are supposed to be stand-ins for the literal Satan.
Got it. Okay, sure.
So if Job can't contend with those creatures, a.k.a. Satan, how could he ever hope to stand against the God who made and masters those creatures?
Was he looking to stand against him, or was he just looking for answers for the shit that he did?
How dare he demand anything of God?
How dare God be a dick?
God can do what God wants, says the apologist.
I know he... Okay, in canon, I know he can, but why should he? Why does he? Why...
Who are you to ask that?
I thought God is good,
okay,
right?
Okay, look, I'm God and you're the questioner, okay? Mm-hmm. I'm God and you're Job. Go ahead, go, ask that question.
Why should God...
Why are you asking me anything?
Because...
Who the fuck do you think you are?
I'm just...
Stop talking.
No.
I'm God.
No.
I will smite thee.
Fuck you.
You're dead. See fuck how that went? See how that went? That's the answer to your question.
Okay.
Okay?
I guess.
So the God who can master Behemoth and Leviathan can also accomplish every purpose in Job's life, including... the mysterious meaning behind the twists and turns.
He can also be a narcissist who doesn't answer to anybody and doesn't feel compelled to answer questions.
He can also about be a why good he did guy. Shit. He can also be a good guy and deliver answers, but he doesn't. So
right.
You know.
No, he's a dick.
Yeah. Oh, totally agree.
That's fucking wrong.
Yeah, no, I agree. Job said many bad things, both in his agonized cry to God and in the bitter and contentious debate with his friends. Like, he had those, you know, nigh on blasphemous accusations and questions.
Right.
And even before that, he was like, oh, I cursed the day I was born. Ugh, I cursed my mom. Ugh, I wish I was dead.
Yeah, I was getting a little.
Yeah, that was so tiresome.
Right.
Well, that was all sinful and bad. So
okay.
His reaction was so not cool.
I feel.
He was justified in his reaction, but he still. It's kind of like if you and I get mad at each other, right? And then I'm pushing all your buttons. And so then you say some hateful things.
Yeah.
Yes, I pushed your buttons, but you're still responsible for the shitty thing that you said. And so you should apologize. And and you and I are pretty good at this, at saying, you know, okay, you're right. I should not have reacted that way. I was mean to you just then. And I shouldn't have said that. That was bad and wrong. However, comma, pause for effect. You were being a bitch, though.
But this isn't even like that, though.
No,
This is like if you got mad at me and I was like, I wish I was never born. I wish, why are you saying, I'm just literally asking you questions and you just keep being mad and then don't answer my questions. And you say, because I'm wife and, you know, you have all the power and I'm just supposed to listen. That's what this
power is
like.
Yeah.
It's not, there's no discussion here. There's no...
Right. But that's God's whole point, is that there doesn't have to be. Just take my word on faith.
But there does, because God did something bad and wrong.
But that's what faith is saying, I have to trust that you had a reason for what you did, because you couldn't possibly have done something
bad
or wrong.
Okay, but the story shows us that God is a bad actor. And we're supposed to have faith in a bad actor?
Well, let me just continue on and see if you have any further thoughts about this apologist perspective. Okay.
All right.
At times, Job doubted God's goodness, which, you know, rightfully so.
Right.
And he doubted his righteous judgment in the world. Like,
because he was talking about how the shitty people live and prosper and the good people die and wither away or whatever.
Because
so.
Only the good die young.
Right. Like it's in a fucking song.
Yeah. Yeah. So at times, Job doubted there was any good either in this life or in the great beyond.
I don't doubt. I mean, I don't blame him.
Yeah, I don't either.
No.
I don't either.
He has good reason.
But by the end, Job has come full circle back to a state of humble contentment with not knowing the answers to the questions occasioned by his crisis and his companions.
No, he fucking withered away in 2 seconds.
Because he saw the glory of God.
Whatever.
So this apologist says that it was right for Job to repent because Job did all those bads. He dared be hurt and upset and voice his frustration.
I think that is incorrect and wrong.
I do too. But that's why we're not apologists.
Right. No, I know.
Yeah. We're accusers. So while Job had done nothing to invite the crisis that came into his life.
Right.
As the reasons for that crisis were rooted in the contention between God and Satan.
Wait, contention? It was a fucking bet.
Right.
Don't give me this contention shit.
Right.
They fucking bet.
Yeah.
That's bullshit.
It was a challenge and a hold my beer and a do your worst and chug, chug, chug.
Right. Like, no, God doesn't have enough faith in himself to even just dismiss this whole bet.
Right.
He has to go through with it.
Okay, but let me continue because there's supposed to be like a reason that he does this, okay?
Okay.
And I'm going to get there. And I'm not saying it's a good reason.
It's probably not.
Okay, but we want to get there because that's what I'm doing.
All right. Yeah, I'm trying to calm down.
So, even though Job did not invite this, Job did have to repent of his wrong words and wrong attitude after the crisis that occurred in his life.
Okay.
Both for excessively giving in to despair and for his unwise and intemperate speech as he contended with his companions. So, it's going back to that whole, he didn't do anything wrong, but his reaction was shitty.
I think it was completely justified.
No, so do I. So do I. But I'm just, again,
Sure.
So God ends his words to Job without ever telling him the story behind the story.
Bullshit,
right?
Which yes. We know.
Yeah. Job was left ignorant about the contest between God and Satan that prompted the whole crisis, though this apologist is quick to add, perhaps God did later tell him.
There's no
we don't know.
Evidence of that.
We don't know. We weren't there. We don't know. Maybe he told him. That's what the psychologist said.
If God's going to tell Job, that is a major
plot point.
Right.
Yeah.
But that needs to be said in the fucking story.
But that's not the point of the story, according to this apologist.
It's the fucking point to me.
No, I agree. But you don't have faith, so.
Oh.
Basically, this story rewards faith. It doesn't win over people to faith.
Okay.
You know what I mean? And one might say that that is true of the entire fucking Bible.
But there was no good reasons for faith. I'm powerful.
So though Job did not know the whole story, God did tell him of his great victory over Satan when he talked about how he has mastery and power over Behemoth and Leviathan. This apologist says that he is basically telling him that... He's basically telling him, I have power over these monsters, so I have power over Satan.
Got it.
And that gives Job assurance for the past, for the present, and for the future.
Okay, I guess.
I'm just telling you what this apologist says.
I know. Okay?
It was important that God did not tell Job the reasons why. Because then Job can be a continuing comfort and inspiration and example to those who suffer without an explanation.
So, this whole story was written because there are no fucking explanations.
Right.
And they needed a reason to make people still believe even though there's no explanation.
It's kind of like this Bible story is the entire, like, however many seasons, I think it was like 9 season run of the show Lost.
Mm-hmm.
And they were telling this story, and then they got to the end and realized they'd painted themselves into a corner and were like, oh, fuck, we don't have an answer for this. Let's just throw it in. It was all a dream. There, yeah.
Right.
And yeah. And that's kind of what happened here. They were like, this is neat. This is cool. Yeah, look, they have a bet going, da-da-da. And then they got to the end and were like, but what's the point?
But
what's
this,
the moral?
Right. But this whole story.
It was a dream.
This whole story was written by an early apologist. Like, they're like, oh, we need to have an answer for this.
Exactly.
There we go. Read Job.
Yeah.
And like, it doesn't answer it for me, but you can have somebody that's an authority figure say, this is why. And these are the reasons why, right?
Mm-hmm.
And listen to me because, you know, you have to listen to God. And then also you have to listen to me and also give me money.
Right.
So
I can buy another yacht.
Yeah. It's important. Shit.
If the specific and ultimate reason for his suffering had been revealed to Job, the value of the account as a comfort to others who must suffer in ignorance would have been greatly diminished or even canceled altogether.
It's canceled altogether as it stands, in my opinion.
Yes, I totally agree.
I don't that doesn't make any sense. Like, if he told him that okay, this could have been, to me, this could have been in the God, in the Bible world, right? This could have been easily chalked up to God says, I did this to help you. I did this to show you, you can't lose faith.
Right.
You know, and even dismiss the bet with Satan.
I was going to say, like, he could phrase it in such a way as that he says, you were the shining example, and I want you to be the one that I point to, like an English teacher who says, can I keep your paper to show future students, you know, as an example of how to be in the face of adversity, no matter what, you didn't lose your faith in me. And even though you got mad at me, you still didn't ever like curse me or whatever.
Right. But none of that was said.
Right.
It was merely a power trip.
Right.
And then Job just capitulates right away.
Yeah.
And is like, oh, sorry, God.
Yeah.
It's dumb.
I totally agree. So without anger toward him, God allowed Job to suffer in order to humiliate the accuser and then provided support to countless sufferers who would follow in Job's footsteps.
Okay.
And that is what this apologist says.
Says, right.
Okay. And then I saw some really cool stuff on Quora, which I know we're not supposed to use Quora, but that's what I'm telling you. I was like spelunking.
Okay.
And I found some really cool stuff and I kind of cobbled together several different little answers here.
Okay.
That I felt is more along the lines of my feelings.
Got it.
Right up until the last sentence.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah.
It's a realistic portrayal of how other human beings view suffering. Job's so-called friends spend the entire book throwing pointless platitudes at their supposed friend who is sick, starving, half-naked, destitute, and mourning the loss of his children, not to mention the fact that his fucking marriage is now on the rocks.
Right.
Right? And it didn't even occur to any of them to invite him inside, offer him a meal, bathe his wounds, or console his grieving heart. And so the moral is, people suck, they'll always let you down, and you can't rely on anybody else in an emergency.
Right,
right.
Right.
Totally agree with that, right?
Yeah.
God's bet with Satan is silly and over the top, right? Totally.
Yeah.
But honestly, Job's situation isn't impossible, right?
Okay.
Because it makes sense that multiple bad things might happen to somebody all at once. Like, the examples that I gave are, consider the phrase, when it rains, it pours, right?
Right.
Or catastrophes always come in threes, like, when we see celebrity deaths, we're always looking, you know, we're counting, right?
Yeah.
And then there's even, I'm waiting for the other shoe to drop.
Right.
Anytime something good happens, we're like, yeah, but.
Well, I mean, I think your own mentality kind of triggers more bad things happening sometimes too.
Sure.
Like if you're in a funk, you're in a funk, you know?
Sure. But even when something good happens, you're like, but I'm not going to get. Like the cynical and jaded among us, of which I count myself, are always like, sure, okay, but. Like,
right.
I'm not about to get too excited because I know that something bad is quick to follow.
Right.
So I just kind of take everything with a grain of salt. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So the reaction of Job's friends is also pretty realistic. They give him terrible advice and they actually blame him for his own situation. And let's be honest, like how many of us have friends or family member that like, you know, we go to them with problems and they're like, oh, my God, you should just dot, dot, dot. Or like, why don't you blah, blah, blah. And it's always like shitty advice. Or like you do something. Okay. Like when I got divorced from my ex, right? My own family was like, how dare.
Yeah.
And they were so mad. And then when I got with you, they were like, you're a terrible mom because, you know, you dared to want out of a bad marriage. And
right. Right.
You know. So that's what I was thinking of when I was kind of putting this all together. Like, yeah, you're right. You know, people suck.
Yeah.
It's true.
Yeah.
Right? And so I agree with everything right up until this point. Ready?
I'm ready.
The true message from the book of Job is this. People suck. Your closest friends and most reliable allies will undoubtedly fail you every time. True, true, true. Trust God and only God, even if he seems to be the one afflicting you.
What the fuck?
Because you can't trust people.
I have some problems with that too, because there are some friends that do always show up and do always help.
You're one of them.
Well, and so is some of our friends that we have too.
Yeah.
So I don't want to not say that.
No, we have some very good friends.
Right. And fuck God.
Yeah.
That's all.
Yeah.
That's all I got there.
Totally agree. Totally agree.
Yeah.
But I just, I wanted to put all that out there so that you could see, like, what other people are saying is the point. Since we're like, what is the fucking point? I don't get this. It's not clicking for me. I think it's dumb.
Yeah.
That's what they're getting out of it.
Okay.
And it works for them.
I guess.
I don't know why.
It does not work for me. It's a really dumb fucking
Yeah, I agree. I can't with that.
Yeah.
You know, GTFO with that bullshit.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
Okay, so now we're going to do a quick pop quiz.
Okay. All right.
I got an 80. I hope that you do half as well.
Okay, I hope I do at least half as well, yeah.
Okay, these are multiple choice.
Okay.
Okay?
Yep.
Where did Job live? Was it Buzz, Ur, Uz, or Oz?
Ur.
No.
Oh, okay.
It was Uz.
Uz.
Shit. Uz. Fuck. It wasn't Oz either.
It wasn't Oz, yeah. Okay.
Okay.
All right.
71% get that answer correct. I was one of them.
Okay. Yep.
Before all the trials, how many sons did Job have?
10.
Not children.
Oh.
How many sons? Here are your choices. 2, 5, 7, or 12.
I'm going to go with 7.
You are correct. Yeah. Good job. I got that one too.
Okay.
76% of people answer this question correctly.
Got it. So, yeah.
You know.
Mm-hmm.
We're not that impressive so far.
Okay? No.
Okay. Number 3. What would Job do in the morning after his sons' feasts? Here are your choices.
He'd sacrifice shit.
I'm not even going to read you your choices unless you want them,
because
that's the correct answer.
Yeah.
Only 65% of people
get that one. I got it without even the choices.
Same.
Hell yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Number 4.
Okay.
How did Job's sons and daughters die? Do you want the choices?
I think I know, but I think it, like, the house collapsed because of wind or something like that.
The house collapsed on them.
Okay.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep. A great wind came and knocked the house down. 69% of people get that one right.
Okay.
Number 5. With what did Job scratch his sores with? Let me start over.
Okay.
With what did Job scratch his sores with which he was afflicted?
I'm going to need some choices here.
Okay. Sheep jaw, broken pottery, piece of stale bread, or olive branch?
I'm going to go with piece of broken pottery.
That's what I guessed too. And we are right.
Awesome.
64% of people guessed that one correctly.
Okay.
And I say guessed because there's nobody on the planet that actually remembers that, because it's so, like, beside the point.
Right.
Like, arbitrary question.
Well, I mean, with the choices, I was more certain.
But, yeah. Okay. Number 6. And I'll let you know ahead of time I got this one wrong.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah. I'm going to try really hard here.
Only 43% of people got this
one
right.
I know. This is going to be rough.
Okay. From which country did Bildad come? Do you want your choices?
I do.
Taman, Shua, Ephraim, or Naamath?
Ephraim.
No, I knew it wasn't that one.
Okay.
It was Shua. I had guessed Naamath.
Got it. Okay.
One of them came from Naamath.
All right.
So I had the wrong guy.
Yeah, I didn't get that one. Okay.
Nope. Me neither. Okay, number 7.
Okay.
When Job's friends arrived, for how long did they sit in silence?
Oh.
Do you want your choices?
Yes, I do.
1 hour, 6 hours, 1 day, or 7 days?
7 days.
Yes. 77% of people answered that coin.
Wow. Correctly. Okay.
Yep. So me and you are, like, exactly par for each
right,
other.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah.
Number 8. I got this one wrong.
Okay.
And only 29% of people answered this one correctly.
Okay.
Who was the first to break the silence? Do you want your choices?
I do.
Zophar, Job, Bildad, or Eliphaz?
Okay. I'm going to go with Zophar.
No, and I got it wrong, but I feel that this was unfair. Job was the one who broke the silence, but of his friends, Eliphaz was the first to speak, and that's the one I guessed.
Got it.
But I got it wrong, because apparently it was Job who broke the silence.
Okay.
And that's bullshit, if you ask me.
Well, I mean, it is what it is.
Whatever. Number 9. What did Job lament over to begin with? 71% of people got that right, and I am among them.
Okay.
What is it?
What's my choices?
His birth, his wealth, his family, his health.
Say them all again?
What did Job lament over to begin with? His birth, his wealth, his family, or his health?
His family.
No, you got it wrong.
Shit.
I'm beating you now.
Okay.
Was his birth.
Oh, okay.
Boo, you suck.
Sorry.
Okay. You got to get one wrong, or you got to get one right that I got wrong now in order to beat me.
No, I know.
Okay?
Yeah.
And you can't get any more wrong that I got right.
So I
got
to get them all right.
Pretty much.
Okay.
Okay?
Yeah.
Number 10. Job said that if his misery could be weighed, what would it be heavier than?
Okay.
Only 45% of people got this one right. I'm one of them. Oh. Do you want your choices?
I do.
Leaves of the trees, sand of the seas, waters of the oceans, beasts of the fields.
Sands of the seas.
Fuck yeah, it was.
All right.
Yeah. Okay. Number 11. And I got this one wrong. Only 35% of people got this one right.
Okay. All right. Yep.
Why was Elihu angry with Job's three friends? Do you want your choices?
I do.
They had found no answer for Job. They had been rude to Job. They had blamed Job for everything, or they had not listened to Job.
They had not listened to Job.
That's what I guessed too, and we are wrong.
Oh, shit.
The right answer is they had found no answer for Job.
Okay.
I don't really recall that being the case.
I don't know.
But I don't care enough.
Elihu's speech was really dumb.
He was dumb, and it doesn't even count to me. It shouldn't even be in the Bible.
Right,
it was added later.
I agree.
Fuck ever. Okay, number 12. Why did Elihu wait for the others to finish before speaking? And I know you don't need no choices for this one.
Why did he wait for the others? Because he wasn't even in the Bible initially.
No. Within the book, he was like, I'm going to speak now. And the reason that I waited to speak until now is because...
I'm going to want my choices, please.
Oh my gosh, are you serious?
Yeah.
It was so easy. Okay. Well, I guess it wasn't that easy because only 59% of people got this.
Yeah, come on, cut me some slack here.
Okay, jeez. Why did Elihu wait for the others to finish before speaking? He had arrived late, they hadn't let him speak, he was younger, or God had sealed his mouth?
He had arrived late.
No.
He was younger.
Yes. Shit. Oh my God.
Okay.
How did you get that one wrong?
Well,
he went on and on about
it. I knew he was younger, but I didn't know that was why he spoke. He said it like,
I know I'm young, but I can speak. I know I'm young, and that's why I waited, because you old fucks were yakking.
Okay.
And even though I'm young, I have some shit I could say. I'm smart even though I'm young. Like, he said it 1,000 times.
Got it. Okay.
Okay. Number 13. You suck. Number 13, from where did God answer Job?
From a whirlwind cloud.
Yes, a whirlwind. Only 62% of people got that right. And
okay.
We are among them because we're awesome.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, number 14. What creatures mentioned by God grazed like an ox and lied in the shade of trees?
Behemoth.
Yes. Only 60% of people got that one right. Even with the choices... other than behemoth being dragons, Nephilim, and unicorns.
Jesus.
Like, did you even read it?
Right.
Do you even lift, bro?
Right.
Okay.
Yeah.
Anyway, number 15.
Mm-hmm.
Where did the creature Leviathan dwell? Only 51% of people got this right.
Okay.
Do you want your choices?
Sure.
Trees, caves, water, mountains.
Water.
Duh. Right?
Only 51% got that?
Only 51.
What the fuck?
Yeah. Those are the easiest ones.
Right?
Like, what the fuck is wrong with people?
Yeah.
Okay. Number 16. What did the Lord in his anger tell Eliphaz to take to Job as a burnt offering?
It was 7 oxen, I think.
Close. I'll allow it because you would get it if you had.
Yeah, if I had the choices.
Yeah. 7 bulls and 7 rams.
Okay. Yeah.
So close.
Right.
The other choices were 2 pigeons and 2 turtle doves, 6 goats and 6 oxen. 5 lambs and 5 ephahs of grain.
Got it. Okay.
Only 57% of people got that right, even with the fucking choices.
Got it.
I just feel like sometimes people suck.
Yeah, sure.
Okay. Number 17.
Okay.
How much did Job receive when God restored his wealth compared to before?
The choices, please.
Half, the same, double, or treble?
Treble?
No.
You said treble.
Yeah.
What's treble?
Triple.
Triple. Okay.
But it's double, treble. That's how you say it. For real.
Oh.
A, it's there. And B, it's a word.
Okay. I'm going to go with triple.
No, it's double.
Shit.
You dumbo.
Well, oh. I was thinking he got a lot, you know? So I didn't know.
He got double.
Okay, he got double.
Okay, I'm just letting you know that I won this.
Even you sure did.
We're not done yet.
But
there's
you won.
A couple more, but I won.
Okay.
Just for the record. Mm-hmm. Number 18. For how many more years did Job live once his fortune was restored?
How many more years?
That's badly phrased. 140 years. Yeah, it was 140 years.
Yeah.
Only 49% of people
got that. Wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Number 19. I got this wrong. Only 39% of people got it correct.
Okay.
That's because we haven't read the New Testament yet.
No.
Which New Testament writer talks of, quote, the patience of Job? Was it Peter, Matthew, James, or John?
Matthew.
No.
Okay.
I knew it wasn't him. I don't know why.
I don't know.
I had guessed John. It was James.
James. Okay.
I don't really care because
we haven't
that's
got there
not
yet.
In Job.
Right.
Why are they asking us a Joby question that's not from the book of Job?
It's a Job question. It's not
Whatever.
From Job.
Okay. Last one. Ready?
I'm ready.
Number 20. Which prophet mentions Noah, Daniel, and Job as men of righteousness? I happen to get this one right, even though it's not from the book of Job. Only 31% of people got it right.
Okay.
Your choices are Jeremiah, Ezekiel, Isaiah, and Joel.
Ezekiel.
Yes, good guess. You
awesome.
Got it. I'm going to let you tie with me.
Oh.
I will allow it, even though I beat you. Okay?
Sure. Sounds good.
Okay.
Okay.
So I got 16 out of 20. I think you missed more than four.
Yeah.
You did. I know.
You didn't keep track?
Well, no, because I told you before we got on here that I wish I hadn't already answered them because I couldn't, like, every time I tried to pull it back up as a new thing, it maintained my info, and I was like, I don't have time for this bullshit.
Got it.
So, yeah.
All right, well, we have anything else with regard to Job?
Fuck him.
Fuck God.
Fuck the book of Job, and fuck God.
Fuck that apologist that you were talking about
earlier.
And fuck
that apologist. Fuck Elihu. Fuck a lot, you know? Fuck the guy who added Elihu.
Right, yeah. Just fuck it all.
Fuck it all.
All right. Well, that was Job.
It sure as fuck was.
And tomorrow we're going to be back with...
Contradictions and you're always wrong because you are.
Except for when I'm not.
No, you always are.
Sometimes I'm not.
In the contradictions, you're always wrong.
But 100%. I'm also kind of always right.
No, you're 100% always wrong. That's the whole point of contradictions.
Whatever. All right. So we'll be back tomorrow with Contradictions episode and then other shit later that we still haven't quite figured out. Probably book club something or other.
Oh my God, cut us some slack.
And all that.
Get off our back. Jesus Christ. Relax. Relax, everybody.
Yeah.
We'll be here with some shit for you.
I'm sure they don't care.
They were yelling. Didn't you hear
they
them
yelling?
They weren't
yelling at us, darling.
They were yelling
that at was us. Just in your head. That was something else.
Oh, God damn it. Sorry about that.
All right.
The voices were talking again.
Right. We'll see you guys tomorrow.
We sure as fuck will.
Bye.
Bye.
Hey, wife, I guess that's the end.
But husband, that's just sad.
It doesn't have to be. We are on lots of social media platforms like Twitter. Our handle there is sacrilegious_D.
For D's nuts.
Oh my God. Stop doing that. Anyway, we're also on Facebook, Instagram, and Pinterest. There's a link to all of our social media sites at our website.
Ooh, we have a website?
Yeah, it's sacrilegiousdiscourse.com, where you can also find a link to our merch shop.
We have a merch shop?
Yep. We have podcast-themed clothing, mugs, notebooks, and more, as well as an atheist and science-themed products.
Wow, our fans should really go check that out right now.
Definitely. They can get in touch with us by sending an email to sacrilegiousdiscourse@gmail.com. But before they do that, we could really use some help.
Oh yeah? With what?
Well, it's not free running the podcast, and we need some financial support in order to get better equipment, which will free up time so we can concentrate on our podcast and our fans.
Okay, so what should they do?
Head over to patreon.com/sacrilegiousdiscourse and sign up as a contributor on our podcast. Supporters there receive additional bi-weekly episodes that we record just for our Patreon members for as little as $2 a month.
Also, we'd really appreciate it if you would like and subscribe on whatever platform you're using.
And Apple Podcast reviews help us out tremendously.
Like and subscribe. Leave an Apple review. Join us on Twitter. Support us on Patreon. That's a lot of instructions. Don't forget to say thanks.
Thanks.
Okay, bye.
Hold up. Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.